evening. Man, this building's starting to tip over this way a little bit. Look at that. Man. Well, I'm glad that we could be together and have seized the opportunity to sing songs of praise and to study yet another portion of His divine word. And as I mentioned, that this evening we were going to be talking about the end of the world. This is one that I had planned recently, and B.B. of course preached on the end of the world topic there this past Sunday evening that I was, Kenzie and I were not here. And so, as I stated, I have my own prediction of the end of the world. And you, I don't know if you'll believe what I found, but I'm going to share that with you. And don't worry, I'm not writing any books or anything, or putting any billboards up or anything like that. But I think you'll find it kind of interesting in this lesson. This evening, we will talk about that predictions of the end of the world are not new. Actually, I'll go ahead and get to that part, that the case in point, in the first century, some affirmed boldly that the Lord had already returned. You know, you find that 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18, actually. 17 and 18 in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and their word, it says, will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Ismenias and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, there's a situation there that you had false teachers who are denying the resurrection of the body, and they believed that when a person became Christian, he was spiritually reborn, and that was the only resurrection that would ever be. And you notice that in that very verse of verse 18, that here it is that they had this, some have erred that from the truth, that they have actually taken a different road because of that right there. You know, I have found that a lot of people have done that over the years, that have clung to what a billboard says. They have clung to that. This is an exhaustive list. And I have, as a matter of fact, there's some more in my binder here that dates back to 44 AD of predictions of the end of the world. This is all predictions. And Kenzie and I were going over them on the way to services this evening. And, you know, year after year, it keeps on going, especially when you get to the 90s. 94, 95, 96, 97. A couple times in 97 we hit on that. 98, 99, 2000. Kenzie was right earlier in the truck, said, you know what? If they keep on, they're going to get it. They're going to get it one of these years. It's going to be the end of the world. But as I've stated before, and will say again, that why do we spend so much time on predicting the end of the world when we should be preparing for it? How much has been spent on that? And there are those that still err from the truth because they believe such. Some in today's religious world still hold to this doctrine by teaching that everything the Bible says about the end has already occurred, that it's already taken place. So the question that is many times raised regarding our life and world today, is this heaven or is it hell? That's the question that I've been asked in studies before. I don't know if you've ever been asked that question, but what are we living in is the question. If you say that these things have already occurred and they have taken place, what is it? Heaven is described different than what we're living here. If we're going that route, just want to go ahead and put that out there. Amen. So think about that. Let's also consider that the Bible discloses that the end could come at any time. That's what it says. We're going to get to that. There are no biblical prophecies which remain undone, save the return of Christ for the judgment of all souls, and then comes eternity. Let's just throw one out there real quick. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. It's appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment, right? That's what it says, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. We prove all things. And notice that even that writing to the Thessalonians, Paul equipped them. There's a key word that we're going to go to, and that of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you turn over there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll see what he says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice verses 15 through 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. And it goes on in verse 18 at the end of that chapter, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Go on to chapter 5 and verses 1 through 6 now of 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as what? What's it say? Thief in the night is what it says. That refers back to Matthew chapter 24. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Notice verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Does that give you the idea of constant preparation? That you have May 21st, 2011 is a date that's put on a billboard, and all of a sudden everybody's selling stuff that they have. There's a website that's devoted to, well, that said that they are confirmed atheist. Have y'all seen that? That is crazy. They're confirmed atheists, and it says on the website, I printed it out and read it, it says that you know that you're saved, but when the rapture comes, May 21st, 2007, who's going to take care of your pets? Well, there's a question for you. That one kind of ringed around in my ears for a little bit, thinking, I've never heard of that. That's the first time I have ever heard of that. And they have the low price of $135 per household, and then extra $20 per additional pets. They were not ready to take care of livestock. They're still working on that, it says. So, you know, you think about that. We say, in our minds, that's crazy, because what's 1 Thessalonians 4 and chapter 5 saying? Exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. It does not contradict itself. Paul equipped them with the mind that the Lord could return at any moment. Paul did not teach them, nor did any other Bible writer, about a tribulation, a rapture, and or a millennial reign as is universally taught today. That was not it. So let's go ahead and get to this. The Bible declares that the Lord will come again. We know that. But we do not and cannot know when he will return. There are no signs. Matthew 24 and verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not, what's that word? Expect. I mean, we think about this in the sense of burglars and thieves in the night. They don't announce themselves, do they? Hey, I'm here. And matter of fact, I'm going to come back and hit your neighbors, you know, on May 21st, 2011. And then, you know, October 21st, I'm going to hit, you know, another one over there. They don't do that. We say that's crazy. When we least expect it. Matthew 25 and verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We really can't get more plain than that, can we? And that's Bible right there. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. Now we're going to look at some verses here in just a moment that might kind of throw us a little bit. as to where this new date, October 21st, 2011, has come up. And y'all might have done some study on this yourselves and how we kind of, May 21st didn't happen, so now what? My calculations were wrong, right? For some reason, I thought that was coming. I figured he's got to figure something out or else stay in hiding or something. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Okay. Just take those verses, and we're going to keep those and remember those as we go through this lesson. Throughout the years, there have been numerous predictions. I thought I knew something about predictions. I didn't know how many predictions were given. And I haven't really sit down and counted these things up. Wow. There was, like I said, dating back to 44 A.D. is where the first that we have recorded. And I have a few selected that we'll notice, but there's a website that you can actually go in and get this list as well. Here's one. The year that I was born, 1982. My parents might have thought it was the end of the world when I came into it, but there was a strange event forecast that happened for 1982. They said all the planets are going to line up from Pluto all the way to Mercury, and it's going to cause some strange events. It's going to take place, and there's going to be all kinds of chaos and havoc, and of course this thing that they did here was pretty neat. You know, people were buying into that. They're like, oh no, what are we going to do? And once again, that makes you sit there and wonder that what they were saying, that scientists were forecasting that soon our solar system will experience some unique and sobering events that has never occurred in 1982, and that it was all going to end. It was over. The planets line up, create magnetic forces. They use all kinds of terminology that I have a hard time pronouncing, and that would bring the word Armageddon to the earth. Here we are, still in existence. This is one of my favorites. I like this one because you have the tennis shoes, and then you have clouds of dust that's coming out of them. They're gone. What will you do if you are left behind? It says, in the twinkling of an eye. And it says, I am out of here. Little bubble there. It says, millions of people disappeared. Massive earthquakes felt around the world. Very heavy casualties. Russia and her allied forces are annihilated in surprise attack on Israel. New world leader arises with comprehensive peace proposal and disarmament program. Worldwide panic as stock market collapses. Global chaos. What will happen next is the question there at the very bottom of that track. Good question. What will happen next? 1980s, yet again. And here we are. Are you ready for the rapture? Jesus is coming on October 20. Let me make sure I get that date right there. October 29th or 28th, 1992. Lee Jang Rim had a mission for the coming days for October 28th, 1992. He was jailed for 2 years after embezzling $4.4 million, 10,000 of his cult followers. We say that's a shocker, right? That he made money off of this, I'm going to say scheme. Is that an appropriate word? I guess that would be, wouldn't it? Scheme. And here it is that he has got this in his mind that he's going to post all these things up and find a whole bunch of followers. And you know what? That's amazing. 10,000 and more were following him because he said it was going to happen. Now, are we still thinking about those verses that we just noted in Matthew and 2 Peter 3? Those are still coming around in our heads a little bit, isn't it? They looked forward to the second coming at 9 a.m. on this day. 9 a.m., October 28, 1992 is when it was going to happen. They believed that Jesus would return through Sydney Harbor. They had their prayers and songs. At the fatal hour, there was a loud countdown of the final seconds, just like a space shuttle launching off. 10, 9, 8, all the way to 1. What happened to the leaders? They disappeared after an hour hiding their faces from reporters. Because when they got to 1, everybody's still in their shoes. Nobody has left. Well, is there more? Nope. This is the one that's been hitting the news a lot lately. Harold Camping, remember? 1994. Wait a second. 1994, was his calculations wrong then too? What happened there? Well, Harold Camping, in his book, Are You Ready?, predicted the Lord's return in September of 1994. The book was full of methods that added up. I don't think he needs to do math. I don't think he specialized in it, period. And I'd hate to see his, he needs an accountant to do his bills. But the book was full of methods that added up Bible numbers up to 1994 as the date of Christ's return. Can you believe that even after this here, that there's still people that follow him saying May 21st is it? After he got it wrong then too? And that verse still echoes from the beginning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that some have erred. Some have erred from the truth because they start grasping and thinking that this is it. Now this woman is a... Kenzie got to this one. She started laughing a little bit. One by the name of Shelby Corbett of Bradenton, Florida, had put up benches throughout town advertising the rapture will happen in 2007. One that has little Bible knowledge and is still trying to make money selling her book. Throughout parks and such. Get ready, he is coming 2007, www.2007rapture.com. We're saying it's 2011. What happened? I don't suggest buying her book. Well, here's one. A lot of money has been spent. This is where we're at current day, right now. May 21st, 2011, it says on the side of that huge, huge vehicle there. It begins on May 21st, 2011. Have you heard the awesome news? The end of the world is almost here. The Bible guarantees it. They're going around showing this to people. The Bible guarantees that it's happening. That's false teaching on wheels is what that is. Imagine that. That Harold Camping, who owns 55 radio stations, advertised on 6,000 billboards. There were some in Beaumont. In the United States. After his first prediction of the end of the world failed, as we noticed in 1994, Camping refused to accept his condemnation as a false prophet and is at it that second time. May 21st, Judgment Day is coming, and of course has a verse on there. Let's see if I got the right one there. Here it is, familyradio.com. Cry mightily unto God for His mercy. I tell you what, I still focus on this. Why is it that we have to pick a day before we start crying to God for mercy? Isn't that weird? Let's predict it so we can wait to the final time and we can get everything right. It's very disturbing that this second prediction for the end of the world has failed. Now we have moved it to October 21st. What's your prediction about October 21st? Are y'all selling anything at low prices? Because there's some people that's getting bargains out there on these people that's going, hey, you know, this is real. After all Camping has been telling everyone to leave, every church on earth, and listen to him alone. The money he got to promote his false doctrine actually came from the treasuries of the churches whose members left the church. I'm not saying the man didn't make a lot of money, because he did. And he still is. Because people are buying into this. Here's that other billboard. That was awkward. Come out right after May 21st. Billboard says, that was awkward, and then has the Bible verse, Matthew 24 and verse 36, no one knows the day or the hour. I like that one. I'm going to say that's my favorite billboard thus far that's ever been put up. I'm going to have to agree, that was awkward. Because there's people that were waiting to the very moment in which people are going to start disappearing. And guess what? And then somehow zombies got thrown in there, and I'm not even going to go into that, but here it is. We're here on a Sunday, May 29th, 2011, worshiping God just as we are supposed to be, preparing ourselves for a prepared place that's called heaven. And if He comes tonight, will we be ready? That's the question. If He comes tomorrow in the morning, whatever, 10 years from now, are we still preparing ourselves for that heavenly home? All these billboards, I tell you, it just, all the time that has been spent and money. So, thinking back what we talked about, repeat offenders, obviously, it's setting a date which has come and gone without the prophesied end happening, 1914, 1820, 25, 41, 75, 94, go on from there. What explanation do they give for these failed prophecies? Simply that new light has come, things are becoming clearer. What do you believe? Is that true? There is an over-exhausting list of over 200 dates that fail the prediction of the end. How does a line of false prophecies show a move toward truth? That's the question I have to ask. Think about this. How does a line of false prophecies show a move toward truth? I go back to the Old Testament. I look at a prophet, and the prophet says, this is going to happen. And what happened? It happened just as it was said. It wasn't no, the king comes to the prophet and says, what happened? It didn't take place. I have new light. You don't find that in the Bible. Elijah went and said, this is going to happen. It happened. See, there's a lot of people that's running around claiming to be prophets, and they're not. They could and likely will be wrong every time they set a date. I'm going to have to go with, yeah. They're going to be wrong. But remember Jesus said that no one knows, not even the Son? Mark 13 and verse 32. Do not know the hour. Harold Camping. Now that name just continues to ring over the news, and he's been on there several times, and I think it's past 15 minutes of fame now, but according to Camping, let's get this October 21st thing. A 23-year tribulation period of which the Bible says nothing about commenced on May 21st, 1988, which will end with a rapture, which the Bible says nothing about on May 21st. That was his reasoning. That was his line right there. Well, then the earth will be destroyed 5 months later on October 21st, 2011. That's what he's saying. His explanation for the date is filled with more misinformation and rhetoric than a political campaign. Now I want to give you some of these verses here that's used. Like I said, if you've been doing some studying on this yourself, you would already know this, a little bit about it. I have a hard time understanding how this all works out too, so we'll get together afterwards and talk about it. He manufactures dates for the creation, 11,023 B.C. Okay? Flood in 4,990 B.C. and Jesus' birth in 7 B.C. and then infers his conclusions by pulling together a set of verses that have no connection to one another except in Camping's mind. Do you see this? I don't like math anyways. I'll be honest about it. And he starts putting these big numbers together and not sure exactly, you know, exactly how he tied all that, division or what. But simply put, there is no evidence provided in supporting his timeline at all. Nothing. You ask for book, chapter, and verse for things. Don't have it. So let's get to its basic premise so we get an idea here. Genesis 7 verse 4. He says that Genesis 7 verse 4 has a twofold meaning. Okay? Which the Bible does not say. As you go to Genesis 7 and verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." I see some looks of confusion. Okay, I'm not the only one when I was studying this. Not only was God telling Noah, okay, we got to get back to where are we at in this account. We're talking about Noah, that 7 days remained before the earth be destroyed by the flood, but he was also saying that the earth would continue for 7,000 more years. Do y'all see that? I mean, is that there? Do y'all catch that from, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Confusing. To establish this, however, he goes to 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. Do y'all know what 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 talks about? "A day is 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord." Now I really see some confused looks. Because now we're figuring, how does he tie all of this in? So, from what he has said, 7,000 years after the arbitrary date for the flood, apparently the Lord's return in the context of 2 Peter chapter 3 would come. Now that's the math that's being used. That's what's being said, because we had to change our date to October 21st now. Alright, now if you're still in 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice another verse that's used here. Because I am almost certain that we will run across at least one person that has a question about this, and we're going to need to be able to explain it. Okay? The most simplest way that we can. Because these verses start, you know, getting people confused. We're going back to Genesis to prove something, and now we're at 2 Peter chapter 3. But in the same context, Peter, writing to his contemporaries, urged them. You remember that in the book of Peter, that there were those that were mocking, you know, the Christians because, "Oh, your Lord has not come yet." You know, and they went through a lot. And that was Peter's point to begin with in verse 8. But in that same context of 2 Peter chapter 3, now notice verse 12. Let's get there. Let me see. 2 Peter 3 and verse 12. What do we have? "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Okay. Peter, writing to his contemporaries, urged them to look for the coming of the Lord. There's not a doubt about that. Because that's what it says. He was urging them, yes. In his first epistle, again to his contemporaries, Paul wrote, "The end of all things is at hand," 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. Do you notice there, Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7? "But the end of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Okay. I have a question. When did Peter expect the Lord to return? It's a valid question, right? Peter expected the Lord's return. We take that from the Scripture and say, that's true. Absolutely. Not some 1900 years in the future, but possibly in his own time. He did not know when the Lord would return. No Bible writer knew. Because what did Jesus say to him in Matthew chapter 24? What did he say in Mark chapter 13? What did he say in Matthew 25? What was Peter saying in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 that we noticed at the beginning of the lesson? Peter himself says, no one knows. Not even the Lord Jesus. I've got another question. Does Mr. Camping claim to know something that was kept from Jesus and his apostles? Now that's a valid question, I think, as well. Does he have some insight that no one else does, not even Christ himself? He's that good. At this point, it makes you laugh, but at the same time, it makes you upset. Because of how many people are buying into this day after day after day. I think it's absolutely crazy. But 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 that we return to, I see this picking and choosing thing, and it just, first of all, drives me crazy. But verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So is 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, what we just read, given as a warning about the coming of Christ right to the very day? Is that what it says? Is that what it means? Because that's what's being said to mean by man. Once again, we have to go on down the few verses there. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance." How many have focused on verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3? There's a verse we need to focus on. We should be thankful that he hasn't come again, because there are some people that need to get it right. How many of us are focused on that verse? I like verse 8. I like verse 12. I like Genesis 7, verse 4. Let's put those together and let's come up with a date. You know, I think that's... Why? You know, there's people that's sitting there and thinking, man, it's going to happen. I hope they give me a heads up. I've heard that. Have you? I hope they give me a heads up when the end of the world's coming. Well, Jesus said no one knows. I have to reiterate that throughout this lesson. Just keep that in mind. It will come as a thief in the night. I want to tell you what Peter simply revealed. You already know this. Peter simply revealed that God is not governed by time as we are. That's the long and short of it right there. That's what 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 is talking about. Because they were mocking him. You remember that? "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust." Where is the promise of his coming? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." That's going back to Genesis chapter 7. He referred back to them because of what happened. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Skip on down to verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." He's not governed by our time, by our schedule, by what we have going on. It is not a calendar to be linked together with Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. Rather, it is an encouragement for faithful service at all times, no matter where we are, for we do not know when the Lord will return. There it is right there. There's a lesson. Faithful service at all times. Can I say that I am living faithfully, or am I just going to all of a sudden believe that Jesus is the Son of God when I see a billboard go up? Because sad to say, but true, that there's a lot of people today that's doing just that. They're waiting for the next billboard to come up, say, uh-oh, I need to make sure I don't go to work that day. I need to make sure I repent of sins. I need to make sure that I'm ready for that day. That's sad. Because that's not what the Bible says about service and faithfulness. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all that. It doesn't say except or when or, you know, it doesn't give that. That's all the time. So let's conclude the lesson. Are we continuing steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? That's what you find in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. That's what Paul said. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain as it is in the Lord. That's faithful service. Be thou faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. Are we going to be faithful no matter what day or time it is? It's a question. How about this? Live as if it were your or my last day. Are we prepared for that day? Is the point of man wants to die and after this the judgment? Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that we started off with. Are we ready to stand before the throne of God and give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil? Because even the Ecclesiastes writer Solomon knew that very information. He, I really think that Mr. Camping needs to tune in to Solomon. Solomon was very wise. So the question that we have as you get your songbooks ready, are we prepared? Are we prepared? I know that this list that I have printed out is going to get longer as time goes on. But as I stated at the beginning of the lesson, if people put more focus into being prepared the way that the Bible says be prepared instead of trying to predicting, this world will be a better place. Be a better place. Thank you for your kind attention in our study this evening. Have we been baptized? Have we put on the body of Christ, Romans 6, being buried with Him in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life, having began that walk with Him? If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 7. Have we fallen away in some way? 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we need to make sure that we are prepared? Do we need a song of encouragement in any way? Won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?